Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 65, and I am Libby, your host, and we have two returning guests.
Hello, I am Josh from Los Angeles.
I am Marcia, who can now say Encino.
You have now accomplished the ability to say the word Encino, or are you insinuating that you're actually in Encino?
I'm actually in Encino, because I...
Congratulations.
I know. You have made it to the valley, the far end. This week is going to be a slightly different kind of podcast. We're going to do the news, but the TV shows are scarce, and we're going to do a section this week on new and returning shows for the summer to help you guys figure out what you want to watch this summer. You could take our opinions with a grain of salt, but we'll give them to you.
Or mine with a pound.
All right. And first up, we're going to do the news, and I have a couple of news items. One of them is a little bizarre. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's that they're doing a Torchwood motion comic to go along with the TV show, and they're going to have voice actors from the show, Barrowman and Eve Miles, as expected, but they added Elijah Dushku. And so people are now speculating that means that she might be in the next season of Torchwood because they're having her in the motion comic. I don't know if those two things necessarily go together.
Well, you know, they got enough people from the Jossverse in there as it is. Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem as long as she's not the star. I think Elijah Dushku is the star of a show. Crashes and burns.
No, and
supporting, she's great.
Yeah, and if she replaces Eve Miles, I will be devastated and angry.
I don't see Russell T. Davies doing that. Eve Miles is like his darling. He loves her.
Yeah.
So.
And she moved to America for this show, so no.
Yes, yeah, exactly. All right. And the next piece of news I have is Benedict Cumberbatch. How do you say his last name?
Cumberbatch.
I said that right. Okay.
Yeah. I believe. I don't know.
From Sherlock, the U.S. version of Sherlock that we were all raving about earlier in the year. He has been cast in an HBO miniseries. It didn't actually say the name of the miniseries, but it's some sort of British love triangle. And he's playing a high-class, kind of stuck-up British guy. And I was like, I think he's got that down.
Oh, yeah.
But he looked like he dyed his hair red for the role. And I was like, wait a minute. Is he really redhead? Or has he been dyeing his hair black all this time?
I think he's actually a redhead because...
looks like it. I mean, as soon as I saw him as a redhead, I was like... Okay, that goes better with his coloring than the black hair.
Yeah, because I saw a telecast of him doing a Frankenstein on stage with Johnny Lee Miller.
And he was redhead?
He was redhead in that.
Huh. He's been hiding the fact that he's ginger.
He's a ginger, and he's quite rude.
All right, that's all the news.
Actually, I have something.
All right, go ahead.
Rockne O'Bannon from Farscape fame has at last... quote, let the cat out of the bag. Mind you, it's on blaster.com also. He's working with the gaming publisher Tryon Worlds, and the show is called Defiance. It's supposed to be a multimedia game that affects the television show.
It's a
scripted live-action television series. Well, when you play the MMO, it will affect what happens on the television show.
Okay, now, if that actually worked, that would be awesome.
That's a very bold experiment.
Do you know what network the TV show is going to be on?
According to, let's see, I'm doing a quick Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Oh. All right. Kudos to them. That's a very bold thing to try.
And they're saying it's very bold. They said the open world shooter game will debut at E3 in LA next week.
This week.
That would be this week. Yeah, it starts Monday. Yeah. Well,
Sunday.
It starts Monday, right?
Registration opens tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And I follow Girl Gamer and a few other people, so we'll know how it turns out.
Well, I mean, that might inspire me to actually play an MMO if I like the TV show.
I don't know. I'm still going to keep on my strict no MMOs ever rule, but I'll watch the show.
Well, I have the very same strict rule because I have an addictive personality, and once I get started, you have to pry me away.
Me, it's more, I know how I get when I play video games, and I don't want to subject myself to other people like that.
All right, on to the shows. We only have a couple of shows this week. First up is it part two? Yes, part two of the Doctor Who episode with the gangers.
Yeah, the Almost People.
Ah, thank you, because I forgot the name of the episode. Mm-hmm. The Almost People. And I thought that it was a good conclusion to the episode.
I thought it was much stronger than part one.
Marcia, thoughts?
Well, I've been disappointed in this year in that every time there is a multi-part, the first part really drags, but then the second part kicks in nicely, and that's what's happened here. I thought that it picked up very nicely for the second part. And I was very pleased. And then tonight we're going to know where else it goes. But I like the way that they dealt with the Doctor and they dealt with Amy. I like the relationship.
Well, I would actually... Well, go ahead. You say positive.
I don't know. Amy really bugged me.
This week. I was going to say that. That was my issue. I got inordinately... someone told me I got angrier than was called for.
I was angry because like she showed this very immediate and very, very strong prejudice against the Doctor's double.
Right, and ironically, it wasn't the Doctor's double. So I mean, I think that showed a side of her that was very ugly. That showed a really ugly side of her.
Yeah,
and I mean, I disliked Amy for a completely different reason before.
I liked Amy, and I've always liked Amy. I didn't think she was that great. I didn't think she was that terrible. But this was the first time I was, like, really upset with her.
Right. Well, like I said, I had other reasons. And so when I hit this episode, I was like, wow, I don't like you. Like, I mean, the Doctor very clearly said, trust the other me. He's not going to be about, you know, trust him, go with him. And she refused. She would not go anywhere with him. She would not trust him. She's like, he's not you. I can't see him as you. And I guess he's a good guy, but he's nothing like you. So I don't want to spend any time with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me? And it wasn't just the well, it was worse when it was the Doctor. But if you remember back in part one, when Rory was trying to help the girl that was the ganger.
Jennifer.
She protested against that, and he was like, well, she asked me for help, so I'm going to help her because she asked.
Well, I thought it was kind of weird how Rory just became so almost instantly infatuated with Jennifer.
Yeah, that was... I don't know, infatuated. Well, she actually treated him well, and she complimented him and said he had great eyes, and I don't think Amy ever does that.
Yeah, she calls him stupid face.
Yeah, she calls him stupid face. So, the first woman that actually says he's attractive, I can see some slight infatuation there. But I never really felt like he was really into her. I just felt like he wanted to be strong and be the hero.
Yeah.
Like, Amy sees the Doctor that way, and she doesn't really see him that way. And so, this was the time for him to be like, can I be the hero this time?
Well, you know, if that's the case, then kudos for Moffat for not taking the Russell T. Davis route and announcing that intention to the audience.
Well, I actually wish we had Russell T. Davis right now, because Moffat is just, I feel like he's just not doing what's necessary to make this show great. Like, it doesn't feel as good.
Every first parter, you could cut 15 minutes out of it, and it would flow so much better. It's like he's setting up the joke, but he's telling you the joke.
I agree. Like, I sort of feel like what Moffat does is he's doing a lot of setup, and he's planting a lot of seeds, but very few of them have actually, like, come to fruition yet.
Right. But we're in the middle of season two, for him, season two. And I feel like this stuff should have played out by now, and it's not.
Yeah, and it was sort of what bugged me with the Big Bang from last year was that we had those we had all these seeds planted, and we were waiting for the payoff, and then the payoff came, and it just wasn't what
good.
I was hoping for.
Yeah, it wasn't big enough. It was just, I was like, really? We spent all season for that? Like, yeah, and I feel like this season is shaping up the same way. I really, like, he's setting up all this stuff, and I find that I'm not excited. I have to say the end, you know, when he does the whole dissolving of Amy thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was kind of cool.
That was a neat twist. And, I mean, what I thought we were going to get, which would have, like, totally blown everything away, was that it was actually the Doctor who had gotten killed, and that the Ganger was the one who was on the TARDIS. And that now we have a fake Doctor, a duplicate Doctor, who is now the only Doctor.
That would have been cool.
But I think that's just way too bold, and fans would have flipped out if that happened.
But, I mean, I don't think he would have got killed. It would have, you would have had to be able to go back and get the real Doctor at some point. Yeah. But, Amy, but now we, since Amy got dissolved into a pool of goo, the question is, where is she, and at what point did she get taken?
Well, I've had very long discussions with my friends about this. And the conclusion we came to was that she was most likely taken back in the beginning of this season when the Silence kidnapped her.
Ah. Yeah, that would make sense. But that's the first time that she saw the face behind a window that wasn't there.
Yeah. But it's also around the same point when she said, when she told the Doctor, "I'm pregnant," and then later says, "Oh, wait, no, I'm not." And then the Doctor starts scanning her, and you see this sort of phasing.
Oh, because she was like, "There's something I have to tell you. There's something I have to tell you." And she goes, "I'm pregnant." And I was like, "What?" Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I actually was hoping she wasn't pregnant. Now that she's actually super pregnant, I'm like, I don't care.
Well, she's pregnant with a time baby, so that's...
Well, we don't know. Do we know it's a time baby?
Well, if we go with the assumption that that little girl is her kid, which I think they sort of, like, hammered into our face that it
yeah,
was.
But it feels like a red herring. Like, you're supposed to think that, but it's not really that.
Maybe, I don't know.
I think that she was kidnapped before the Silence. I think the Silence figured out who she is. Now, let's go back to that woman who got killed in the bathroom in the Silence episode.
Yeah.
She got killed the same way as the Flesh.
Not really.
No, it was a different killing. The Silence kill you differently.
But very close. I think that when the Silence said, "Tell the Doctor," I think they were trying to say, "Tell the Doctor you've been kidnapped."
No, I don't think so.
I thought they were telling her to tell the Doctor that he was going to die.
Yeah, that's what they were telling her.
Well, maybe we'll find out tonight. Maybe we won't.
I think that also Stephen Moffat is being overly dramatic with his whole, let me split it at 7 episodes because it's going to be more dramatic this way. And I'm like, dude, you're creating false drama by doing that.
Well, I mean, also there's the whole idea of, like, him just constantly hyping up this cliffhanger episode is when everything changes.
Yeah, and he's putting too much on it. And I'm just like, you didn't need to advertise that.
And, like, even the preview for the episode is, like, it starts with River saying, "This is when the Doctor finds out who I really am."
Okay, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we get River back, and I love River. So.
I do too. So I was like, you sold me right there. You're like, River, I'm in. That's all I care about. I cannot wait till she's a companion.
Me neither, especially after the way Amy behaved this week. But of course, this was a duplicate Amy who was not actually Amy.
But it was Amy because it was being piloted by the real Amy.
Yeah.
Real Amy was moving her around and thinking and talking for her.
Yeah.
And you can't convince me that that really wasn't Amy because, that was Amy.
Yeah. But, after this week, I'm very ready for River to replace Amy.
I don't know if that's going to be I don't know if River's necessarily the next companion, but at some point she has to be, but...
Well, I'm really starting to lean towards the side of, I'm ready to see Amy go now.
Yeah, me too. Well, I was there earlier.
I've been supporting her, but now I'm just like, I'm ready to see her go.
I think there was a bleed-through. I think that there was some kind of a bleed-through. Her paranoia was too high. She has been fine with all kinds of aliens and life forms and... I think there was some kind of paranoia that bled through, just like how she sees the midwife at times as a bleed through. I think something was bleeding through.
That's probably the case, but that doesn't mean it wasn't her.
Yeah, that was still her in there somewhere. She was still piloting that ganger, and I just thought, you'd have to do a lot to convince me that she's okay now.
Yeah,
but I have a question about the split of the season. Do you think that it is Moffat who's splitting the season, or do you think that it's BBC because they're putting Torchwood in the middle?
Torchwood's on a different channel. It has nothing to do with Torchwood.
Yeah.
And it was Moffat. Moffat said he wanted to do it this way.
Yeah. This is Moffat trying to create the hype that Russell T. Davis did.
Yeah, and it's Russell T. Davis did it with writing.
Yeah.
And Moffat is doing it with, like...
gimmicks.
Yeah, gimmicks. And I'm like, come on, man. Anyway, the next...
I expected so much better of Moffat than what I'm getting this year.
Well, this year and last year for me, but let's move on. I don't want to bash too much. Mm-hmm. I've overstepped it on there. The next thing I want to talk about is Game of Thrones, and this was episode 7, which was called
"You Live or You Die."
You no, win or you die. Yeah. Right. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah.
So this week, Game of Thrones took everything up a big notch. The stakes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all the stakes are super, super raised. And I have to say the shining big moment, well, there was two of them.
There were quite a few.
Yeah, well, the ones that stick in my head were Khal Drogo's speech.
Oh, my God. That had to have been my favorite moment in the whole episode. Cause
yeah.
I read it in the book, and reading that speech gave me chills, and then seeing him
do it
gave me chills again.
Yeah, and the fact that you can't even... He's not speaking English,
yeah.
You know? And
he's speaking total Dothraki, which is great.
Right, but you understood and you felt what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's so incredible.
And I know there were like a few people who were like, you know, he had me up until he said we're going to
rape
their
women.
And then they lost me. I'm like, that's what Dothraki do.
Right. Because I think Peter was like, he got to that point. Peter was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
He's like, wait, you had me till the rape.
But it is normal and regular behavior for them. That doesn't, you know, whatever.
But, I mean, that speech, like, really sort of, like, made me go, okay, what's his name? Jason Momoa?
Yeah, he knocked it out.
I was like, okay, I can see him as Conan now.
Yeah, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
The other big scene is the end, but before we get to the end of the episode, what else happened in the episode?
John? Well, there was a Ned with his really, really stupid move of showing his entire hand to Cersei.
He showed his hand to Cersei. He showed his hand to Littlefinger. Littlefinger very blatantly said, whoever has the money controls the guard.
Yeah.
Do this. I think this is the best way to go. Oh, you don't want to do this? Then I guess, you know. It was like every misstep. And he very specifically says to Littlefinger, you obviously have no honor. Yet he expects him to act with honor.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, every mistake he makes just hurts my head. This episode is like the clear image of Ned Stark... And his honor is his tragic flaw.
It really is, and like I mean, a lot of people say that he's just hopelessly naive, or I've heard a lot of people say that.
I don't think he's naive,
he's not naive. What he is he is very insistent on this black and white world, and it's like he really feels like if he believes in it strong enough, it can happen.
Right.
But I think the problem is. At its core is that Ned is a provincial lord from Winterfell. He's not made for these kinds of big games and these big intrigues. He's used to the simpler, easier life of Winterfell.
And also, he's used to, if you give somebody an order, they follow that order.
Yeah.
And he's not used to people maneuvering themselves into position and they might say, okay, I'll follow your order, and then go do something else. Like, that doesn't happen to him.
Yeah, because, like, the last time he dealt with the Lannisters before all this was in the war.
Yeah, and they were and that was very obvious, black and white, because he's fighting them or he's not fighting them.
Yeah, when you're in war, black and white is pretty easy to determine. But when you're in intrigue like this, this is not what Ned is built for.
No. And it's very obvious by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
And it was that moment where he thinks that he has the upper hand. I have to give Cersei's credit. Mm-hmm. He gave her the opportunity to leave with her children because he didn't want her children to be killed.
Right.
And she was like, I give you the same opportunity. You may leave with your children.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thought he had the upper hand.
Which... Like, again, like, sort of points to this, like, why was he trusting Littlefinger? Like, okay, showing your hand to Cersei, I get that on a level of honor, but believing that Littlefinger is going to go along with your plans, that's just stupid.
Well, his whole thing was predicated on the point that Littlefinger's in love with his wife, so therefore he's doing this favor for his wife. I was like, yeah, no, but I'm like, yeah, if he's in love with his wife, doesn't mean he wants to necessarily help you, because yeah. that, you know, if you're out of the way, he can go after your yeah. wife. Like, are you serious?
Like, now that I felt was naive.
Right. Like, that, just because a guy, like, this guy's been in love with your wife for 20 years, he has the opportunity to get rid of you, and you mm-hmm. think he's going to help you mm-hmm. because he's in love with your wife? I was like, no that's not how that works.
I mean, like, what we had this great exposition scene with Littlefinger with the two whores.
Oh.
Where he basically, like, lays out his entire backstory between what happened with him and Catelyn.
Right, and we got that in backstory earlier in the book, but they they told us now.
Like, we sort of get it in, like, bits and pieces throughout the book up to that point.
Right. So, yeah, it was a very, very good episode, and it ends with Ned Stark, all his men slaughtered, and him with a knife at his throat.
Well, yeah, and it's not just any knife, it's the knife that they used to try to kill Bran.
Was it the same knife?
It was the same knife, yeah.
Ah, nice symbolism.
Well, speaking of symbolism, we haven't talked about the opening scene with Tywin Lannister, who we finally meet.
Oh, that was a stag on the
table. That was a stag, yes, yeah.
That was a stag. I thought that was a stag.
I was like, is anybody else noticing this other than me?
Is he skinning and gutting a stag?
Yeah, which I thought was fantastic.
Well, I mean, Tywin is great. My only thing, we haven't seen this yet, but I don't like how Tywin deals with Tyrion. But that's beside the... But Tyrion has alluded to that.
Yeah.
But that scene he has with Jaime was really moving, because he's like, I need you to be the man you're going to be today.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, but today.
Yeah.
And that was like, wow.
Like, it was a fantastic introduction to Tywin, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and
Charles Dance is fantastic, and he pulled that off so perfectly. Like, just that one scene, we needed. And, like, you sort of see, like, the vulnerability of Jaime for a second in there.
He needs his father's approval.
Yeah.
He really, really wants his father to be proud of him. And that moment, he was like, when his father says that to him, he's like, okay, I can do this. This is the moment where I can do this.
Yeah. And,
you know?
And the thing that I love, like, when he's like telling Jaime about, like, you shouldn't be focused on all these people's opinions of you. And then he says something about the world needs to see us as strong. And,
well, that's why they go after the brother.
Yeah, and then but then Jaime says, well, isn't that an opinion? And Tywin's like, no, that is a fact. I was like, damn.
What did you say, Marcy?
Look at both Jaime and Ned both believe in honor.
Yes, to a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
Like, I mean, Jaime's...
Jaime stabbed his king in the back, so how honorable is he?
Yeah, he has a variable view of honor.
Yeah, but he was a mad king. He did it to save the world.
He did it to save his own butt.
Yeah.
But also, we haven't talked about Jon Snow.
Yes,
Jon Snow, yeah.
What? You go ahead. We've been rambling. Yes, go ahead.
He went for honor. He went to be honorable over at the wall, and now he's been slapped down. And he's not going to be a ranger. He's just been slapped down. That was just... amazing to listen.
It was a slap, but I mean, it was Samwell who points out that he's a steward, but he's a steward to the commander.
Right.
So he's being groomed for command.
Right. So even though it looks like a slap in the face on the surface, the commander of the entire Night Watch picked him to basically be his successor.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's just excelled beyond everybody else.
Right. He just didn't see it at first.
Mm-hmm.
He is now going to see it because the commander, you know, he's basically going to be the commander's squire. He's going to be with the commander all the time. So every decision that the commander makes, he's going to be there to see why and how and wherefore.
Right.
You know, so it's not actually a slap in the face. It's actually a huge promotion.
No, absolutely. But the way at first he takes it as a slap in the face.
Right,
like, right, right. Yeah.
It has to be Samwell, the Nebuchadnezzar. Is Samwell. He's, you know,
yeah.
you pity him. And he's the one, he he sees everything.
Well, that yeah.
Nobody really pays attention to him, so he sees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and that's always been Samwell's strength, is he's not a fighter, he's not really much of anything except a really good listener and watcher.
Right, and he thinks.
He understands what's going on around him. And right. that's something that John needs, because he is a Stark at the end of the day, and Starks are very instinctive people. They right. don't really think things through.
Right. And that is that should be on
that's their new call motto. Phrase. How yeah. Stark, we don't think things through.
Oh wow. Anyway, all right, I think that's all for Game of Thrones for this week. It was a very, very good episode. We've only got three left, and I have no idea how they're going to fit everything in, but I'm very excited to see how they do it.
Seeing how much they were able to pack into this episode, I'm like, yeah, I can see them doing it.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
And another thing I wanted to point out, there was no Tyrion and no Arya
in this episode, and it didn't matter.
And we didn't even notice.
Right, it was just really, really good.
It doesn't speak ill of them, because they are still my favorite characters. It just speaks very highly of the entire world as a whole.
You could pull that off, yeah. The next thing I want to talk about is the finale of Breakout Kings on A&E. I talked about this episode, or this show, like, I think when it first premiered, and I haven't talked about it since because we had so many other new shows and so many things to talk about. And it's one of those kind of popcorn TV shows that's entertaining, but not necessarily the greatest show ever. But since it's the summer, if you can find it on Hulu or wherever, it's not a bad show. It's kind of entertaining, and it's the entire premise is, you know, they got a bunch of cons to work with the marshals. So that every escaped convict that they help catch, they take 1 month off their sentence. Okay. So all these people have at least like 25 years okay. on their sentence. So
it's like Prison Break, only with more than one prison break.
Yeah, so every week is a new prison break. Though I have to say, after a while, the originality of how these people break out of prison got to be kind of old. Like, I was like, really? They're breaking out that way?
There's only so many ways you can break out of prison.
Right, and so it got to be a little silly. But that always happens in the tease. Yeah. Like, the prisoner breaks out in the tease, and then the rest of the episode is the prisoners and the marshals working together to catch them. But I have to say, the thing about this show that makes it interesting is how the marshals basically looked at the prisoners as animals, and they called them animals, and they treated them poorly, and they didn't treat them like people. And what's interesting is by the time we get to the finale, they're kind of a family. They kind of move to, we have no respect for you guys are animals, and they call them dogs, they call them all kinds of stuff, they don't trust them, they just, you know, really just treat them badly, to in the finale, when it comes down to it, one of the prisoners' girlfriends gets taken, like, they know about this program to catch, like, other prisoners have heard about these guys catching them.
Yeah.
So they kidnap the girlfriend of one of the prisoners.
Okay.
And basically say, keep the marshals off of me, because if they catch me, we'll kill your girlfriend. Added that.
That's a nice
twist to it. And so he was, and the thing is he actually figured out that if we don't catch her, they're going to kill my girlfriend anyway.
Right.
So he was, so for like the first like 10 minutes, he's actually trying to stop them. But then after that, he thought about it. He's like, screw that. We have to catch her.
Right.
So he actually was on board, but they could tell, they knew each other well enough that everyone knew that he was hiding something. Mm-hmm. And so at different points, people were like, what's going on? So he ends up telling the other prisoners first because he trusts them more. Not that, you know. So he tells them.
Well, I mean, they're on the same level as opposed to the marshals.
Yeah. Right. But they're freaked out because they think that he's going to run. And the part of their deal is if any one of them runs, all of them get their sentences doubled.
Oh, okay.
So they're freaked out thinking he's going to run to try to save his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, if he runs, we have to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like all this tension, everything that's going on. And what was great, what broke it all down, was this really good scene at the end where this woman, she's kind of like the computer geek secretary. She always says she never goes out. She's mm-hmm. always at the desk. And because of that, she always hears everything that's going on. And so she figured out that what was going on first. Mm-hmm. And she figured out that the prisoners were, that the other two were thinking about running. And she goes to the bathroom with them and she was like, look, you have to trust us. Mm-hmm. You have to trust the marshals. Because you're not on your own. You're not just prisoners anymore. They were like, you're worried about if this guy's girlfriend got kidnapped, that they could kidnap your daughter or your mother or your whatever. And she was like, marshals protect their own. Mm-hmm. You don't need to run. You don't need to worry about that. We protect ourselves. We protect our own. And mm-hmm. and she was like, don't run. Because if you run, then the marshals are going to be the ones chasing you, and you know they're going to catch you. Because they've been working with him long enough, right?
Right.
So it was a really good speech. And
that's pretty cool.
It was a really good speech. And at the end, he takes everybody out to pizza and actually gives them beer because he had never given them alcohol. And he was mm-hmm. like, we just need to relax. And he was like, oh, and he goes, oh, and don't worry about your family. We put Marshall Protective Services on your family. It's all good. So, like, he didn't even know anything about what else had been going on. He didn't know they were about to run. Uh-huh. But he just wanted to make sure that they knew that their families were safe.
Oh,
and it was just like...
That's really cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh. So it was a good... It was a good wrap up to the whole season.
Okay, I might
have and to, they give and this they really look. Yeah they get a nice little progression, and I like the convicts, and especially the psychiatrist guy. They have one guy who's like he does profiling,
mm-hmm.
and he's in prison for 25 years. And the big mystery is how did he go from being this big shot psychiatrist to having 25 years in mm-hmm. a max security prison? Like uh-huh. what? So you go almost to the end of the season before you find that out.
Okay.
But it's pretty good.
Okay.
If you excuse the tease of how people escape.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that's the first couple minutes, and then it's them
and
working
then,
together.
Then you get into the character stuff.
Yeah, and the character stuff is pretty good. I like it.
All right, cool.
All right, next up, we're going to talk about The Killing. This week's episode. This one was better than last week's.
It was. I'm trying to remember all of what happened.
Well, basically, the whole thing is the guy, they beat up that the
right,
teacher
they beat up
last
the teacher,
week.
And now the teacher is basically
critical.
On life support.
Right. And the father turns himself in because once he figures mm-hmm. out that guy really didn't do it.
Right.
And also, I think once he came down from whatever high he was on, he was like, what the heck did I just do?
Right. Oh, and then we had them like finally... finding the evidence that completely exonerates the teacher.
Right. Well, they found that last week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and it totally sucked. But, I mean, we knew the teacher was a red herring and everything.
Oh, yeah, we totally knew that. But, like, we had them, like, telling everybody, like, listen, the teacher did not do this. And,
right.
And everybody just, like, being incredibly shamefaced about it.
Yeah, they treated him like trash.
Yeah.
And then...
And the only person who was, like, standing by him the whole time was Billy Campbell.
Well, see... My thing about that, his conviction that that guy was innocent was above and beyond regular people's, which
makes me think
that he knows who actually did it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, it's obvious just from like how they've been focusing so much on this campaign that the murder
clearly
is involved in it somehow.
Right. And they showed, and they also, the one guy that people started suspecting a couple weeks ago, they cleared him, which was the friend of the family, creepy dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is still creepy.
He's still creepy, but not killer creepy.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a decent episode.
It was good. I mean, I feel like it's, we're starting to drag a little bit here.
We were dragging last week a lot.
We were dragging last week a lot, and was this week... when we had the fiance show back up.
And basically break up with her.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God. Because I was so tired of that storyline.
It was really just... It was bugging me, and I really couldn't... I couldn't care less about that guy.
Yeah, I agree.
And even I though he is Leoben, but still, I just couldn't care less about him.
His character was boring.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
Yeah. And then we have the son, like, lashing out big time.
Well, that's to be expected because if you think about it, your mom's talking about we're moving, we're upheavaling your life, we packed all your stuff, And then we don't move, yeah. And then your mom's like ignoring you.
The first couple of days, yeah, okay, you give her the benefit of the doubt, but we're on day 10 now.
Right.
We're practically 2 weeks into it.
And she's not paying any attention to you, obviously doesn't care, it looks like we're really not moving, what did I do all that for?
Yeah.
You know, so I could see him having issues.
Yeah.
But I do think he went a little above and beyond the bad boy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Especially because he's like 13. I could see if he was like 16 maybe, but at 13 I was like, that's ambitious of you.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was an impressive lashing out, and then she responds by taking him off the boat and moving them into this really seedy motel.
I was like, how does that help?
Yeah.
Because at least before he had minimal supervision.
Yeah.
Now he has none.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I don't get like what she's trying to accomplish with that.
I don't know. Anyway, we've only got, what, 3 more episodes?
Something like that,
of the killing, so hopefully all this wraps up in a good and satisfying way.
I hope so.
Because it started out really great, and then it dragged in the middle.
It's dragging. I'm hoping it picks up at the end.
Yeah. Like, so I can at least tell people it's worth watching, because right now I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for shows that we had to talk about this week.
A very light week. Yay.
It was, but it's kind of weird because it's like everything finaled out last week.
Yeah.
Summer shows start next week.
Right.
So this week was like a weird in-between thing.
Yeah, this is our vacation pretty much.
But one thing I want to do right now is go through some of the summer shows that are coming. Just for your edification, get out a pen and paper so you can figure out which shows that you want to watch. Mm-hmm. And I have my list. I tried to order it in order of premiere dates. Some of it is good, some of it is not, because I went to a couple of different places for my list. So if I get this out of order, much apologizings. The first thing is we actually missed the premiere of Franklin and Bash. Which premiered this week.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a show on TNT. It's about these two lawyers who were laid back, not by the rule lawyers, and they did everything any way they wanted. And they did a good job on this case and got the attention of this huge firm.
Mm-hmm.
So the firm decides to hire them and, you know, give them a much bigger paycheck, blah, blah, blah. But now they have to wear suits and they have to be by the book. But they're trying to resist. And it looks boring to me.
It sounds boring to me.
I saw the previews for it, and I was like, yeah, no.
Okay.
I'm not. But it premiered this week, and I looked at the reviews. The reviews were mediocre.
I'll pass.
So, yeah, I'm not watching that. But the next show I have is Teen Wolf.
No.
Don't even go there. Don't even. Wait,
in honor of Michael J. Fox, I will not be watching this show. And Jason Bateman, for that matter.
Oh, wow. His Teen Wolf wasn't that good, though.
Yeah, but I still respect Jason Bateman.
Okay, what'd you say, Marcia?
Teen Wolf just buried in the backyard and hope the dog doesn't dig it up. That's it.
I am actually going to watch the pilot, mainly because it has a werewolf. And that's it. There's no other reason.
Okay, fine. You let us know.
Let you know how badly it sucks. I'm expecting it to suck a lot.
Oh, I already know it's gonna suck horribly.
But I'm gonna watch it. The other thing that actually does not suck is season 2 of The Glades starts on Sunday on A&E.
I've heard good things about that, but I haven't watched it.
The Glades is pretty cool. It's basically, I call it Justified Light.
Okay.
So it's basically a guy who's from, he's a cop from the city, and he gets sent to the Florida Everglades to be a homicide detective, and he doesn't know the culture, it's the inverse of Justified. But anyway, he's kind of fish out of water kind of deal, but the actor has a lot of charm, and you really, he's funny.
Okay.
The cases are... they're okay, but, you know, this season they claim that the criminals are more complicated and they're going to make it a lot tougher on them than they did last season. And he's got the romantic thing going on with the main woman is, she's a nurse, I think, and she's got a son and everything, and he's really, he befriended the son and got in with the girl, and it looks like everything's going great. And like in the finale of season 1, they finally get together. Mm-hmm. But the thing is she's technically she's married, her husband's in jail, mm-hmm. and she's trying to go through getting a divorce from him, but she can't bring herself to do it because her son looks up to the father as his hero type. So she's like, okay, I'm really going to file the divorce now. I'm really going to file the divorce now. Okay. And I think
it sounds very justified.
Yes, it does because of that. And in the last episode, the husband calls or something. He's like, I got out of jail. Oh, and boy. I was like, oh, great. And she's like in bed with the cop, like at the time she hears the news. So
whoops.
Awkward. So that was how the end season one ended. But I love The Glades. It's a good show.
Okay.
Other shows returning. White Collar comes back this
Yay,
week.
Yay! Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait.
Oh, and the great thing about White Collar was when we left off, Peter found out that Neil, well, he thinks that Neil stole all that Nazi art.
Right.
Even though Neil didn't steal it, but right. now Neil actually right. has it. So,
like that guy, who was the guy, the main guy who they were going after, who kidnapped him? And
I don't remember that dude's name.
But yeah, he basically just set Neil up big time.
I thought it was the woman, actually, that gave it to him. Well, the guy set him up,
yeah.
But I think it's the woman that was his that was like his contact that actually stole it and then left it for him.
Oh, okay.
That's who I think did that. But
okay. Either way, Neil ain't looking good right now.
Well, the thing is all he has to do, in theory, is be like, hey, Peter, look, they sent me this note and I found this in this warehouse. But that's not what he's going to do. He's going to keep
it. No, it's not what he's going to do, and I sort of feel like Peter, I sort of feel like he's earned the benefit of the doubt with Peter to at least hear him out.
Right, but they weren't listening to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts my feelings, but
yeah.
So this new season should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Next up, I have some show called The Protector. It's on Lifetime, and it's starring an actress that I know I've seen her, but I can't think of who it is.
I've seen posters for that where it's like a woman carrying a baby and a gun.
Yeah, she's got like a couple of kids at home, but she's a cop, and it's on Lifetime, which scares me, so yeah. I'm like, I don't know. But the woman, she's from some other show that I watched, and I can't think of what it is.
She looked familiar, but I couldn't place where, yeah.
And I figure I should watch the pilot, because why not? It's the summer. Whatever, yeah. Man.
Okay.
So I figure I might give that a shot. Mm. The other shows, I have Memphis Beat and Hawthorne on TNT, premiere on the 14th of June. I have heard bad things about both.
Yeah, I've heard very bad things about Hawthorne.
Yeah, and I've heard they said the only good thing about Hawthorne is they're keeping Michael Vartan from being on shows that people watch.
Ouch!
I was like, "That's brilliant! That's brilliant!"
Oh man,
I don't
harsh.
Like him either, but wow, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm probably not gonna watch either one of those shows.
Nah.
The next thing is Outcasts is going to be on BBC America, and it's a sci-fi show. It's a British sci-fi show. I've watched the first two episodes.
I've watched about four of them, and like the concept is cool. It's got a very sort of Earth 2 kind of concept
right?
to it, but it's very slow.
There's something about it that I cannot put my finger on. That I know, like all the actors, I know all the actors. They're
yeah.
all well-established British actors. They're good actors. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say it's not the actors' fault.
No, it's definitely not the actors.
I don't know what it is, but I don't care about anyone on that show.
I found it very difficult to care about these characters.
Right.
And, I mean, I think the concept is very fascinating. It's like a mix between Earth 2 and Lost. In certain respects, but
there's something missing.
It's not gelling for me.
Right. I agree. I mean, and I can't explain it. Like, this is the perfect storm of a sci-fi show with some of my favorite British actors, like Jamie Bamber's in the pilot.
Yeah.
And the main guy's from some other British show I watch, and the woman's
uh-huh.
from
the main,
she's from Wire in the Blood, and
yeah.
like everybody.
The main villain guy is Eric Mabius from Ugly Betty.
Like everyone in it. I know them. They're great actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the show.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out what it is.
And I've seen this happen before where, like, you've put together, like, a dream team of, like, creative people and all the and actors. And, like, you put them all together in this one show. And you're like, okay, there's no way this show can be bad. And it's terrible.
I can't figure it out. Like, yeah. The storyline is not necessarily bad either. Yeah. Because, like,
I mean, I would not say that Outkast is terrible by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not grabbing me the way I was hoping it would.
It's not a bad show. It's just not exciting. It's like, yeah. I have the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've only watched two episodes.
Yeah, me too. And I've watched four episodes, and, like, I just can't bring myself to watch the rest because I'm like, it feels like a chore.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like work.
Yeah.
And that should not be the case. The next thing I have, I'm looking at my dates here. I see a show called, Falling Skies, which I've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's on TNT and it premieres June 19th.
This one I'm definitely watching.
And I've been hyping it on the show and hopefully it lives up to the hype. I've seen about a half an hour of it at WonderCon and I was on board. I was like, all right, I'm watching this. And it's pretty cool concept, post-invasion. Invasion's over 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now the survivors have to figure out a way to survive.
All right.
And it looks cool.
I'm down. I'm ready for it.
The next one is a show that was originally called Combat Hospital, and they renamed it The Hot Zone. And it's on ABC, and it's going to premiere on the 21st of June. And the premise is that it's an Allied Forces hospital in Afghanistan, and so you're going to have British, American, and Canadian personnel all mixing together, trying to treat people and triage and stuff like that. So
basically, MASH without the comedy.
Well, hopefully they have some comedy.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Well, is it supposed to be a comedy or is it supposed to be a drama?
It's just a drama, definitely a drama. But yes, I would say it's probably on the thing of MASH, but serious. So I'm not sure about that. Like, it could be good or it could just be depressing. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't generally like hospital shows.
Me neither. And I sort of feel like what made MASH work was
the comedy.
Was that it had so much comedy, but it was able to take those serious pauses and, like, really remind you we're in the middle of a war.
Right.
As opposed to beating you over the head with we're in the middle of a war.
And on the same day, ABC is also premiering the season 2 of Rookie Blue. And I never watched season 1. My brother watched and he liked it.
I never even heard of it.
It was on last summer.
Okay.
And I saw that it was on and I was like, eh. Basically, it's about a bunch of cops who just graduated from the academy together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all rookies and they screw up. They don't know what they're doing yet kind of deal. So it's like, I think how Grey's Anatomy did the first year interns not knowing what they're doing.
Oh,
but okay. With cops.
Oh.
So
I still don't care.
Yeah. Because my brother said it was great, he really liked it, I might check out the season 2 premiere. Maybe. Okay. If I remember. Cop shows are, you gotta have somebody on there that sells it to me.
Mm-hmm.
For me to get into a cop show, there has to be a personality that I grab onto.
Yeah.
Other than that, I usually don't generally like just generic cop shows, but this is trying to be different, so we'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
Burn Notice and Suits premiere on USA on the 23rd of June.
Okay, Burn Notice I'm still not caught up on. So.
Burn Notice is a season 5.
Yes, I know.
And season 4, the cliffhanger from last season, since you're not caught up on, I won't say.
Okay.
It was a very, very good cliffhanger. So, I
think I actually watched it, even though I had no idea what was going on.
That would be weird.
I know.
But it was a really good cliffhanger, so I'm excited about the premiere. Suits is also another lawyer show, but as opposed to the Franklin and Bash whatever show, this one actually looks kind of interesting because it looks like they're doing a more of a comedy angle to it where it says two lawyers, one degree. Mm-hmm. So it's basically these two lawyers are working in this law firm and one of them actually has his law degree but he sucks as a lawyer and the other one's actually a good lawyer but he never got his law degree.
Okay.
So shenanigans ensue.
Okay.
So that one looks like, I was like, I could probably watch that.
It sounds more like a gimmick show than, but,
It could. My thing is, because USA has given me some good comedies and some good concepts and some good buddy things, like, you know, White Collar, on the surface, I didn't think that was going to necessarily be any good, but I feel like I'll give this a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Most USA shows, unless the premise is just totally foreign, Mm-hmm. I'll watch the pilot because I've liked so many USA shows. Okay. So I'm going to watch the pilot. Then we also have on the 23rd, Louis and Wilfred premiere on FX. Okay. And they're both comedies.
I tried watching Louis and it just made me angry.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that he's supposed to be this fantastic comic genius.
Well, Louis C.K., I love him as a stand-up. He's one of my most favorite stand-ups in the world.
But you don't like his show?
His show was just depressing.
Oh.
Like, the way I've always described it is this show, the entire central theme of Louis is that after you turn 40, you should pretty much just give up and wait for death. Because, like, seriously, all it is just about him. It's about a guy in his 40s and how much his life sucks.
Wow. All right.
But with comedy.
And Wilfred, every time I see the trailer for that show, I'm more confused and more convinced I don't want to watch it.
All I've ever seen is just like a little logo in the corner of whatever I'm watching.
Oh, it's basically Elijah Wood from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And he tries to kill himself in the pilot. Like, mm-hmm. He takes all these pills, he writes a note and everything, and he takes, like, a handful of whatever, and he lays down to die.
Oh, but, wait, I think I did hear about this.
Yeah, and then he doesn't die, or we think he doesn't die, we don't know.
Okay.
And so his next-door neighbor knocks on the door, and he opens the door, and she's like, hey, can you watch my dog? And you're expecting a little dog or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's a guy in a dog suit, and he has a foul mouth and talks to him, and he's Wilford. Is the dog, I think. But Elijah Wood's character basically is the only one who can see the guy in a dog suit. Everybody else sees a little dog.
Okay.
And so is he going crazy? What's going on with him?
Did his suicide attempt unlock some weird part of his brain?
Yeah, we don't know. That's the premise of the show. And I'm like, nah, no, I don't need to see that.
I'll give it a look-see just because it's Elijah Wood.
So you will be on Wilford duty.
Yeah, okay. I'll be on Wilford duty for you.
Okay, cool. What else do I have? Oh, True Blood, Leverage premiere on the same day. That's interesting.
That's a good day.
So True Blood comes back to HBO on the 26th of June, along with Leverage. And both of those shows are like mediocre for their kind of show. Like True Blood is a mediocre vampire show to me.
I like it. I'm looking forward to the next season.
I am actually looking forward to season 4 because I've read the 4th book.
That's what everybody tells me, is that the 4th book is fantastic, right. and everybody can't wait to see what they do with it.
I actually am slightly excited. Uh-huh. But they've disappointed me repeatedly on True Blood, so I'm holding my breath.
Okay. As someone who hasn't read the books, I enjoy it.
Okay.
I've seen the first 3 minutes of True Blood because I got it online.
Uh-huh.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with the book. It is something that is going in a totally different direction. They're taking the idea of book 4 and then they're just throwing that away and it's like keeping the title. Because based on what they did in the first 3 minutes, no. If you like the book, you're not going to recognize season 4 True Blood. I'm very disappointed so far. If that was supposed to be a teaser to entice us, it bored me.
Oh, great. Thanks, Marcia.
Oh, well, that's upsetting. And then also Leverage on USA.
Well, Leverage...
Or TNT.
TNT, I'm sorry. Leverage is on TNT, and Leverage is a goofy, kind of fun caper show.
Yeah,
and
I sort of felt like the last season was a bit disappointing.
Well, Leverage is a show that I don't expect much from.
Yeah.
It's my bottom tier. It's literally like the last thing I watch on my TV.
Well, I just felt like the last season was much weaker because it was pretty much just caper of the week and no big arc.
Well, they had the big arc, the Spain people or something.
Yeah, but it didn't really like come to anything interesting, I felt. And
yeah.
There were way too many standalone episodes between arc episodes.
That's true. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
So, I mean, I'm going to watch it. I still like it. I still love the characters. But I'm not as enthusiastic about it as I was, say, last year.
Okay. I just watch it because I've always watched it. That's like, I feel like I need to just delete it from my TiVo. But I just haven't found the courage or the strength to push the button. Mm-hmm. But,
the power of Timothy Hutton compels you.
What were you going to say, Marcia?
It's candy.
It is candy.
It's absolute candy, yes.
All right, next is Necessary Roughness on USA on the 29th of June.
Wait, you mean based on that football movie?
Yes, they're making a TV show.
Okay,
Well, actually, it's not based on the movie. Okay. I take it back. It's actually, you just using the title, it's basically this woman who is, she gets, athletes get sent to her who have lost their mojo. Oh. So, like, there's a star quarterback or a star receiver who's always been able to catch whatever, and then all of a sudden now he can't catch anything thrown to him. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously something going on in his head.
Okay.
So they send this guy to her, and she figures out what's wrong and gets his head straight.
Hmm.
That's her job.
Okay, so the football player whisperer.
Yes.
In fact, guys, last night I was questioned online about the show, about two different commercials for the show. And I told them my real age, and they still wanted my opinion from NBC. And the second commercial they had actually talks more about her backstory and how she was a therapist and how her life exploded. And then she ends up coming into this, into doing this. I think this might be candy also, especially since it's coming from USA. But I'm going to watch it because of Mark Lucas.
Well, I'm going to watch it because it's USA, and I actually do like their shows generally.
Well, who's playing the woman? Is that anybody?
It is. I can't think of her name, but she's a well-known actress. She's like in
Callie
her 40s.
Thorne.
Say again?
It's Callie Thorne, who was in Rescue Me all these years.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've seen her before. Next show is Torchwood.
Yay!
On Stars on July the 8th. And I am ready.
We gotta wait till July.
I was going in order.
I know, but oh man, I've been waiting so long for this, and now we're so close.
So close yet so far.
Oh.
But yes, Torchwood. I might have to get Stars. I don't know. I haven't figured out what I'm gonna do, but I must see Torchwood.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they're gonna do what Stars sometimes does with their shows, which is put it up on Netflix right after it airs.
It's not, because Stars is trying to get a better deal from Netflix, so they now have a 90-day delay.
Oh,
so that's why I haven't seen Camelot yet.
You ain't missing much.
Well, I haven't seen it because I'm waiting for the 90 days. Because I was like, it's not. I was like, I don't feel like doing anything extra for Camelot, so I'll wait till it shows up on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But Torchwood, I must watch on the day of.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know, that is a show. Do not miss. Do not walk. Run immediately if you've not caught up with Torchwood. Yeah. You must see that show.
The previews for it look amazing, except for that one shot with Gwen shooting a gun through a window while holding her baby.
Yeah!
I'm like, what?
Irresponsible mother.
That reminded me of Farscape. That reminded me of Farscape miniseries. Gun in one hand and a baby crooked under the arm in the other.
Yeah, but Aaron Sun can pull that off.
Yeah, I have faith that Eve Miles can pull that off, but I'm still like, okay, what is the situation where this happens?
All right. Then we have a bunch of shows premiere on the 11th of July, and it is The Alphas, new show by Sci-Fi, which is alphas who have special powers, or basically mutants.
Okay.
And Eureka comes back. Warehouse 13 comes back.
Okay, those I'm excited about.
The Closer. Wait. I'm going through the list, and then you can tell me what show you're like. The Closer comes back, and Rizzoli and Isles comes back. All right, Marcia, go.
Okay, Eureka. The cool thing is, I follow Felicia Day and Will Wheaton, and they're just giggling. They have been filming the season, and they just talk wonderful about the script, about the people. I'm really looking forward to this season of Eureka. Because after getting boring last season, I watched it, but it was more like candy.
Are you kidding me? Eureka, that last season was the best season of Eureka they've ever done.
Last season was amazing.
That was the best season for Eureka ever, last season.
See, I didn't like the reset button issue.
They didn't reset. That was the awesomeness of it. They did not reset anything. They basically changed all the history of the entire town and were like, live with it.
Mm-hmm.
No reset.
For the second time, it's a new alternate universe.
That is true. They did do it for the second. That is the second time they did it.
Yeah, that is the second time. But
this was a
really big change, and the fact that they stuck with it was really cool.
Right.
to me, yeah, it's a different type of a reset, and it's a different alternate universe. But again, it's an alternate universe.
It's not. You know, it's not really alternate because now it's the real universe.
Yeah,
now.
They can't change it, which I really like, because whenever you do like this sort of alternate universe in a lot of sci-fi shows, there's always an out somewhere.
Yeah, and you know that nothing usually matters in the alternate universe because you know you're going to go back. Mm-hmm. And this time, they're not going back.
Yeah. And me personally, I'm very excited that Felicia Day and Will Wheaton are going to be on it in a semi-regular way this season.
Yes.
That's got me so psyched.
Absolutely.
Okay, the closer is coming back.
Oh, wait, I also need to just say, Warehouse 13, I don't know if I'm the only person here who watches it, but it's a really good show, and I really recommend it.
I quit watching it because I hated it.
Okay. I love it.
I watched season one, I watched all of season one, and then deleted it from my TiVo.
Season two was much stronger.
I hate the leads a lot.
Oh, okay. So I love the leads. So yeah. that's our difference.
Yeah, I can't stand them. Like I like the side people. The what was it? Artie.
Yeah,
I liked him. I liked CCH Pounder. Mm-hmm. I liked the redhead chick.
Yeah,
I liked all the side people. I hated the leads with like a fiery passion.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't watch the show.
I loved them. I love everything about it. So I am intensely psyched for this episode.
And that's why I put it on the list, because mm-hmm. I knew that there were people who big on the show.
Yes.
The closer comes back for its final season. This is it.
I'm so happy it's come back. I actually hope that they don't try to do a spinoff of it.
Too late. They just announced a spinoff.
I thought I had heard something about a spinoff.
The spinoff is going to be called Major Crimes. However, it's starring Mary McDonald. So I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Nice.
They got Mary McDonald. Because at first when I heard they were doing a spinoff, I was like, oh, that's going to suck. And then they were like, and it's starring Mary McDonald. I was like, okay, I'm watching it.
And it's starring President Roslin. Okay, I'm in. I have completely changed my mind.
I thought that's because it's really cool, because they've shown her on the show, and she's like, you kind of have a little bit of an idea of her character.
Okay.
And now you're going to spin it off and it's going to be about her. And I'm like, All right.
I have never watched The Closer, so I have no idea about anything with it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. But okay.
It's not my kind of show.
It's a really good show.
That's what I've heard, and maybe I'll play catch up with it at some point, but it's not really high on my list.
Okay. The next thing is Rizzoli and Isles comes back for season two, and I think I was the only one watching Rizzoli and Isles because I accidentally...
Now Brian watches it with a passion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like accidentally discovered this show, like, and it wasn't even the first episode. Like, I was flipping channels and I came in the middle of season one, and I was like, what the heck is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching it, and I was like, oh, I know why I started watching it, because it's Isles. Isles is actually from NCIS. It's Kate from the first couple of seasons.
Okay.
And so I was curious to see mm-hmm. what she was doing, and I was like, Rizzoli, I really liked her, and I was mm-hmm. like, she's fantastic, and I love their relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I started playing catch up, and I went and caught the beginning of the season, and then I watched the whole thing. I was like, this is awesome. So I love it. Thumbs up, Rizzoli and Isles, TNT, okay. Premieres on the 11th. Next we have, I'm trying to look at the order, we have Rescue Me, for its final season, and it's on FX, and it premieres the 13th of July. I quit watching Rescue Me after season one, so I have no idea what's going on.
Me neither. I actually have never watched it, and I know so many people who have been like screaming about how great it is,
mm-hmm.
and so it's on my list of shows I need to catch up on with, or just watch it all. I mean, The Shield is also on that list, and The Wire is on that list.
Okay, those shows are far superior to Rescue Me.
So I've heard.
I was like, The Wire is like the number one show of all time.
I know. I need to watch The Wire, and I know that when I do, I'm going to love it, because apparently anybody who watches The Wire loves it.
Yes, it's one of those shows. If you actually watch it, it will become your number one show.
Okay.
But...
I love Rescue Me. Every now and then they have some issues, like any show. But overall, I think it's a really strong show. But I'm glad it's ending on a high note. Well, they're going to cut it before it dies completely.
Right. My only problem is I watched season one, and in season one they had the rookie guy. He got attacked by these people. And then, like, two episodes later, he's moving in with them. Like, they attacked him with a baseball bat and tried to rape him. And then he's, like, moving in with them. And I was like, you have totally passed my point of disbelief. And I had to stop watching.
It's not really disbelief, because what it is that the story is about the firemen after 9/11. And a lot of the firemen love this show, because they turned out in New York getting really messed up mentally, emotionally, the guys who survived. You're talking about an entire group of men, thousands of them, who have PTSD, if they weren't there at the time. There's guilt factor. There's all this stuff that's going on.
Well, that's true, except this guy was a rookie. He wasn't there at 9/11. He's the only one who wasn't there. So explain his craziness. Like, he wasn't through training. There's no guilt for that. He wasn't old enough. He was only like 20.
And you have to be crazy. And it's beyond that. You saw the first season, you didn't like it. I'm telling you, seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, it was really, really great. And then you see more of the main characters and what's going on in their lives. I think it's worth it.
It didn't work for me. I mean, I've only watched season one. Season one did not work for me. So, and that was really what threw me out. The thing that I'm talking about. I like the other characters, but just that was just too much. I was like, I cannot get on board of a show that wants me to believe that this is the true behavior of a person. I don't believe it. So, anyway, the last show is Breaking Bad on FX. It premieres on the 17th of July.
And watch it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Breaking Bad is fantastic.
If you are not watching this show, you are doing yourself a grave disservice.
It is an incredible, incredible show. And yes, you should absolutely watch the show. It's not like anything you've seen on television.
The concept, on the surface, you see the concept and you're like, okay, this sounds stupid. Or this sounds like somebody who I don't want to like. But it's amazing. Like, it's mind-blowing.
Yes. Thumbs up.
Yes. I am so psyched. I think of, like, all the shows that are coming out this summer, Breaking Bad is the one I'm most excited about.
Torchwood.
I love Torchwood, and I'm definitely excited for Torchwood, but there is just something about Breaking Bad. Oh. Like, I am just chomping at the bit for this next season.
I agree. I'm super... It's like, Torchwood and Breaking Bad are my two shows that I'm most excited about.
Torchwood is really high up there, but Breaking Bad just ekes it out a little bit.
I'm just... I think my geek factor.
Fair enough.
And the hotness of Barrowman.
Okay, fine.
I'm moved by that.
Okay.
All right. That's all the summer shows we have listed. I hope you've picked some from our really long rambling list and will join us this summer as we discuss whatever shows that make the cut.
Yes. If Teen Wolf makes the cut, I am going to be so disappointed. I might just stop doing the podcast.
Oh, come on. That would just mean that you'd have to give it a shot.
No. No. I don't care if it's the greatest show ever. I will not watch it.
Well, then you just don't have to listen when we discuss it.
Okay,
that's all.
Fine. Fair enough.
Though I highly doubt it. But I mean,
it's
just
on
saying,
MTV. Come on.
I know. I said I highly doubt it. All right.
We'll play cards, Josh, you and I, while they discuss Teen Wolf.
Okay, that's a deal.
All right, so if you guys have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire, and we're on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.